All right, Coach, you know, we give Ira a lot of crap here on the podcast. He says he knows you as your buddy. He loves you. You know, what can you say about Ira that you spent years around him as a journalist, as a guy?
Well, let me tell you this. He's got the greatest voice I ever heard. I can't imitate him well, but he's a friend of mine. And he's a guy I consider great at what he does because he does the work. And he watches practice. He takes pride in you know, getting the story correct. And he's just been loyal. I've always considered him a friend, and I consider him an expert when it comes to pro football.
I'm the demographic for X-Lax.
The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford for the past 60 years, home of the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. Celebrate the recovery right now at BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com, 0% APR for 84 months, and see all the offers that are available and credible right now from Ford and Bill Curry Ford and our friend, General Manager Sean Sullivan. Our thanks also to Big Storm Beer, Big Storm Brewing Company. Get to their website, BigStormBrewery.com, to find all their fantastic beers, Florida's best craft beer, and it's all across the state and beyond. The Wavemaker, Amber Ale, which is the original classic, Tropic Pressure, Florida Ale, the Bromosa, the Tangerine IPA, and so many more. And Big Storm, their cafe, is going to be opening right inside the Bill Curry Ford showroom. Should be open by the end of the month. We'll, of course, announce it here. But what a marriage from two fantastic local companies.
Two words come to mind, exciting and daunting. I mean, that's a classic. From the wilds of Canada, from a man named Jesse, old wounds die hard.
Happy schedule day, everyone. It's a freaking national holiday on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, featuring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the king of Newport Richie, the baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, Uncle Ira, Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeKemper is here. We are in total ecstasy. Sage, how are you?
Stevie, I'm doing well. Before we get into the meat of the schedule, we're going to talk a little syrup, gentlemen. Syrup. As in Canadian syrup that arrived on my doorstep earlier this week in a box. It had all kinds of bubbles and all kinds of packing in it. And inside, two beautiful bottles of maple syrup, dark amber, from the wilds of Canada, from a man named Jesse, one of our podcast listeners. I can't thank him enough. Woke up about 5 a.m. 3 hours before I normally do the next day, so I could break out the waffles and have the syrup. And Lee, it was fantastic. And you know, I've been bitching about Maple Grove Farms and Publix isn't carrying my favorite syrup anymore, and all these things I get attached to are discontinued, like vanilla chocolate chip ice cream. Where the hell is it in Publix? You heard me, Publix, get on it. All of a sudden I'm looking at Haagen-Dazs, $5.15. Well, I'll pay it if you got my damn favorite thing. I don't want butter pecan. I want vanilla chocolate chip. They don't have it. They didn't have the maple syrup. But Jesse, gentlemen, Jesse, take a bow. You've done one heck of a job, and I'm going to stretch that syrup as far as it'll go, gentlemen. Might last me a couple months.
Are we talking gallon jugs here, or maybe like a 16-ounce, something like that?
It could be 32-ounce each.
Wow.
Could be. I feel like swigging them like ginger ale, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to put it on my pancakes, my French toast, my waffles. Lee, if I make hamburgers and hot dogs on Mother's Day, I might throw a little on top of the grills. See what it does to the charcoal, Lee.
Maple smoked.
I was waiting for Lee to say pour some on some cheerleaders, but he didn't go there.
I never thought of that, believe it or not, but I like that concept.
I'm telling you, Isbitz is in rare form in the last couple of weeks. I don't know what it is. It must be Brady mania or something, but that sharp wit's getting even sharper.
Steve's got me going here. A week or so ago, he starts going getting me going on Asian women, and now it's maple syrup. So it's an interesting sandwich I'm thinking about here.
I guess he's revealing a little bit of his own private life over there, gentlemen. That's all we can surmise.
Well,
Lee,
I've got to share that, you know, when Jesse reached out about the maple syrup to send to Ira, you know, I asked Ira, hey, we've got a loyal listener, reader, who wants to send you some maple syrup. He heard your tale of woe. He's in Canada. I verified his email address. And Ira's like, I'm not giving my address out.
Oh! So
I had to wear him down, make sure that Ira knew that it was legitimate. I gave Jesse the green light. He drove over through the snow and the wintry plains, threw his credit card down, and Ira's got syrup.
I'm telling you, it was well packed, absolutely vacuum packed, gorgeous. Great job, Jesse.
That's very, very kind of him. If Jesse, I hope you're listening to this. If you are coming to a Bucks home game at all, we'll have to buy him a beer or two.
Absolutely, and Jesse, if you're listening to this, next week maybe you get in your vehicle, you cross over the border, and you go down to Bill Curry Ford. You pick up a Ford Escape. It'll be a beautiful thing.
That, as we mentioned at the open, the Ira Kaufman podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford. The website is BillCurryFord.com, and we are winding down on those tremendous 0% financing offers. 84 months on 2019 vehicles. Still have the 0% though for 72 months on 2020 vehicles. And guys, I got to tell you, don't forget, Curry Cares. Curry Cares is their insurance company right inside the dealership. They have their own insurance company. And I just made the switch. I am a proud Curry Cares customer. They saved me some serious money. I did it so quickly because I thought that maybe the quote would expire. Bernadette is fantastic. And Curry Cares, full service in all possible levels at Bill Curry Ford.
You know what? I might take them up on that, Steve. I might take them up on that insurance. I'm looking to make a switch, too.
But I'm even more tickled by this darn schedule that has come out. Ira, I'll just give you a tiny little summary, and then I want your impressions. I want Lee's impressions. The Buccaneers schedule, we're looking at 5 primetime games, plus a 6th primetime preseason game in week 2 of the preseason at home against Jacksonville. And they open up in New Orleans, head home for Carolina, go out to Denver, home for the Chargers, and then it gets dicey, Ira. At the Bears on Thursday Night Football, road game, quick turnaround, and then home for the Packers, and then at Vegas on Sunday Night Football, at the Giants on Monday Night Football, short week back home for the Saints on Sunday Night Football. I mean, I could keep going, Ira. What do you think?
Well, Lee, 2 words come to mind. Exciting and daunting. Not only is there 5 primetime games, and Lee, I think there's 8 teams that have 5 primetime games. Nobody has 6. So the Bucks are on heady company. You know, the Chiefs, Super Bowl champion Chiefs, the Cowboys, America's team. But Lee, all 5 games are within a 7-week span. They're not spaced out. So that middle of the season, I mean, that's a murderer's row. I don't care who you're playing. I don't care if the Giants, you know, they might be a 5-11 team. But you're on the road, and it's a Monday night. I mean, they're going to be psyched up. The crowd's going to be that beer-guzzling Meadowlands crowd, Lee, of which you're well familiar. You know, what's the last couple of things we said on the previous podcast? Star power, Lee. That's what you kept saying. Star power. Well, here you go. 3 days later, here's the proof. 5 primetime games for this franchise? This franchise with a 12-year playoff drought? That's the byproduct of Brady mania. A little bit of Gronkowski. I think they still would have got 4 without Gronkowski. He's the icing on the cake, Lee. Boy, if the schedule goes as is, and we don't know what's going to happen come September, but I sure hope that opener isn't messed with in the Superdome. Lee, that's 2 years out of 3 that they open up at the Superdome. That's kind of a crazy wrinkle right there.
I got to be honest with you. The first time I saw the schedule, the first thing I thought was, after, you know, all the primetime games, but Steve called that. Steve wrote about this, what, Steve, 6 weeks ago? He said,
before they signed Brady.
Oh, is that right? Before they signed Brady? Yeah, Steve predicted 5 games under the lights, and he was right. The first thing that came to mind after I saw the primetime games was, if I didn't know any better, it sure smells like Roger Goodell's trying to get the Bucks into the playoffs. The bye week is the first week of December. I can't remember the last time it was that late, and we all know how they covet those late bye games because that makes, you know, you're fresher, your legs are fresher at the end of the season. And if you look at the December schedule, outside of Minnesota, that's you know, I know every game, every given Sunday I get this, but outside of Minnesota, that's a cake schedule.
You're right, Lee. The late schedule looks good. Steve, if the Bucks can be 7-5, going into, you know, the games after the bye week, I don't see any reason I can't win 10 games. Having said that, Steve, the middle of the schedule looks like a killer. I don't like the bye week that late. I would have liked to have seen it maybe in week 9. And Lee, here's one other factor. You start off with Jameis Winston right off the bat. I mean, there's so many little quirks to this schedule.
Yeah.
You know, Winston.
Who?
You can imagine how, you can imagine how excited I think he's going to wear number 2. And, you can imagine how excited he is. Cameron Jordan is chomping at the bit to get past Donovan Smith. And he might line up on the left side just to drive Christian Wirfs crazy. Hey, Jordan's one of the best defensive linemen in this league, gentlemen. So Wirfs could get a very, very quick education. Steve, the middle part is absolutely grueling. There's no way around it.
What do you like about the schedule, Ira? How would you grade it from a Bucs fan perspective? And I'm not talking about the primetime games that everybody loves. I'm talking about just wins and losses and flow of a season. Is this a good schedule? Is this the best they could have hoped for?
I think Lee made a very, very strong point right off the bat about the schedule. Of course, you don't know from year to year, you know, if Detroit's going to be any good, if they can take a step up, and Atlanta looks like a 500 team and you're playing them twice. But I agree with Lee's point. On paper, the December schedule looks very promising. And if they can get out of their own way in September, and by the way, Steve, I've done a little of my own research, gentlemen. The last time they got out of the first month of the year with a winning record, Raheem Morris was coaching this team. It was 2011.
Wow.
When they started off 3-1 and then 4-2, and then the roof caved in. They also did it in 2010. But, Steve, they've gone 8 straight years without having a winning record in the first month of the season. They're stumbling all over themselves. They're 10-22 in that span the last 8 years. And, you know, don't shoot yourself in the foot before it starts, because December looks promising. So, Steve, my big takeaway is the same as the Kempers. Don't fall apart early, because you got a chance to make some hay in December.
It's interesting, Ira. I was ecstatic that they basically got 2 of their easiest games, perhaps their 2 easiest games, in that first quarter of the season. Home against Carolina, which is a rebuilding team, and
right.
Then the fourth game of the year, home against the Chargers, likely to have a rookie quarterback. That's as good as it gets, and Denver's beatable in week 3. Although they are a top 10 defense and they loaded up on offense.
And Steve, no cold weather games. No cold weather games.
No,
that's
cold,
also good.
I don't think Atlanta's a cakewalk by any stretch. I thought that was a bad thing to get them 2 out of 3 weeks. It is very difficult to beat any team twice in 3 weeks. It doesn't matter who it is. And
the Bucs should have certainly done that last year, Steve.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They
should have done it last year.
And they didn't.
And they didn't.
You just made my point. It's very difficult to pull it off. But I like that Atlanta's so late, because there's very good odds that Todd Gurley isn't going to make it to the end of the season. So
you see how you do these deep dives, Isbeth? It's unbelievable.
Well, look, Atlanta, everybody forgets it, but you know, the Bucs had the number 1 offense, passing offense last year. Atlanta was number 3. They're very talented. They needed a running back, unlike the Bucs. We hope otherwise, but unlike the Bucs, they went all in at running back in a big way. They won 6 out of their last 8 games. If we think the Bucs are good because they were on the rise at the end of last year, then you got to use the same logic for the Falcons.
You know, Steve, I want to add one point. I'm going to take you to task a little bit. I think this has gone unnoticed, absolutely unnoticed. It's like they're stacking one on top of the other. The Chargers' defense, I think, could be top 5. I think they have a tremendous amount of defensive talent, and they keep adding to it in this offseason. Yes, they'll have a rookie quarterback. Their weapons aren't bad. But, Lee, they got a ferocious defense, and they will not make it easy on Brady in week 4. Watch out. Watch out for the Charger defense.
Denver, to me, is the sneaky team to look out for. They've got a good defense,
have
an excellent defensive head coach, Vic Fangio, and their offense, they loaded up on speed in the draft.
They did.
In that free season. And Drew Lock didn't play bad at all toward the end of the season. Now they do have a new offensive coordinator. Who knows how long it's going to take before he's comfortable with that, especially given the times we live in. They're a sneaky team to me.
And they got a little help. They got a little help for Cortland Sutton. He's not the only guy out there now. I think they drafted. They get Judy from Bama.
Yeah,
tremendous route runner. So if the quarterback gets the job done, they got a pretty good defense too, Steve.
They also drafted Hamler, which I was kind of hoping the Bucs might get in the third round.
Right.
He's a speed demon. They've really loaded up on speed, Denver has.
They did. The defense, hey, you know, it should be a good game. It's a road game. Jacked House, Tom Brady, Mile High, you know, all that stuff. Every game that they play now is going to have that extra energy because of Brady. My little key to the season, Ira, and I'll pull an Ira-ism here and say, tell me where I'm wrong. The Buccaneers, back-to-back road games, they're only back-to-back road games before December. And that's another reason I don't like December, because of the back-to-back road games, tough to win those. And Detroit's on that back end. But in October, late October, November, back-to-back road games, Sunday night football, Monday night football, at Vegas, at the Giants. Those are two games that if the Bucs are going to be this 10-6, 11-5 team, they have got to win those games. That could be, for me, the turning point of the season. Maybe you go into those games 3-3, 4-2, maybe 3-3, and you walk out with two wins, and off you go.
You know, that's a fair point. And Lee, I'll follow that with this one. Look at the two games they got to play coming off of Monday night. They got to face the Saints, Lee. And then they got to play the Chiefs. Both of them are short weeks. One of them's a Sunday night game. It's better than having a Sunday 1 o'clock game. But it's still a short week. And, Lee, those are, you know, arguably the toughest games on the Bucs' schedule. The Saints at home and the Chiefs at home.
Yeah.
But they're both coming off Monday night football.
Yeah, you know, speaking of Monday night football and primetime games, ESPN put out this graphic on Twitter a little while ago. And this, what I'm about ready to say is, just goes to show you how off the radar the Bucs have been the last few years. They put out a stat. The five teams who've had the fewest primetime games in the last 15 seasons. And these five teams I'm going to recite here have been pretty much the punching bags of the NFL for the past 15 seasons. And it just goes to show what winning or hype, and we've got hype with Brady and Gronk, what winning and hype does to get your team on primetime. Here are the five teams in descending order: Browns, Lions, Jags, Bills, Bucks. The Bucks have only been on prime, had 17 primetime games in the last 15 years.
Wow. Hey, Steve, here's another point I think you were trying to make before, so I'll make it for you. It's what you like about the schedule, and I'm just looking at it here. Steve, check me if I'm wrong. The first eight games, the first half of the schedule, I see only two teams that made the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Green Bay and New Orleans. Am I wrong, Steven?
No, it's a miracle setup. That's why I'm so ecstatic, Ira. This team has gone seven freaking consecutive years 3-5 or worse in the first half of the season. 7 years in a row. And this year with this schedule, I mean, they have to break that and then and hopefully sets them up for later.
Lee, having said that, the NFL prides itself, and I think justifiably, you know, I think it's one of the best things about the NFL is the five new playoff teams every year. I mean, it happens, you know, every freaking year. For the last 15, 20 years, you're getting four or five new teams. Now it might be even more because you're getting 14 playoff teams instead of 12. So you might even have more. But, Lee, when you look at it, you know, unless teams like the Bears make a big leap or the, you know, Chucky's Raiders moving out of Oakland, maybe gives them a boost. But the Giants, on paper, Lee, the first half of the schedule, it looks very manageable.
Yeah.
I'm just excited about just not having to be miserable on Halloween for a change. That would just be a beautiful thing. Ira, one last thing about the schedule. Well, actually, there's two things that are important. I think it's overlooked, but you know him well, and I want to get your take here so you can tell the fans. Can you give the fans any inkling to understand what John Gruden is doing right now with the knowledge that the Buccaneers are on his schedule, on his home turf, on Sunday Night Football. Does he have that thing circled in red or what?
Lee, I don't care that 12 years have passed. I don't care. Old wounds die hard, Lee. And he was fired. He was summarily dismissed by the Glazers. They didn't do it gently. They waited 2-3 weeks till after the season was over, and they ushered him and Bruce Allen out the door, coming off consecutive 9-7 seasons. Buck fans in the last 12 years would have died for a 9-7 season. They got one of them, and they got a 10-6 season. We're talking about 12 years. So, Lee, to Steve's point, now look, you know, Chucky's got his own problems being in the same division as the Chiefs, so he's got Patrick Mahomes on his mind 95% of the time. How are we going to stop this guy? But the other 5%, he's thinking of sticking it to the Bucks, sticking it to the Glazers. You know, he doesn't have anything against Bruce Arians, you know, or Jason Light or Tom Brady, although he ain't too fond of Brady after that non-fumble call. Well, he still remembers that one, too.
Oh, yeah, he still irked about that. I don't blame him.
But he does remember the Glazers, and he'd like nothing better than to drive a stake into the Buck playoff, folks. There's no question about that. And we might be out there in Vegas to watch it. We might be.
By the way, about you said, you know, Chucky wants to stick it to the Bucks. His team isn't that awful. It's not like when the Bucks play out there. I don't think he'll be out of the playoff run.
Hey, they were 7-9 guys last year. You know, we're just still a 7-9 team with just a little more hope than usual. But you know, it's always competitive. Of course, the caveat with all these games, guys, is we hope, fingers crossed, that they allow fans at these games. I think the games will go off. I'd be surprised if they didn't, but fans would be is a whole nother story. Who knows?
Hey, Steve, speaking of the Raiders, last time the Bucks saw Derek Carr, it wasn't a pretty sight, Steve. Well, it was not pretty.
Well, hey, Jude, AJ Barima is hopefully in grad school and not on the Bucks when the next game comes up. I also wanted to mention, to close out on the schedule, preseason. Bucks open at Pittsburgh. At Pittsburgh will be Tom Brady's debut. And the Buccaneers opened last preseason at Pittsburgh, so there's something going on there with that relationship. And I wanted to ask you, Ira, because he didn't always do it in New England, do you think Tom Brady plays in the preseason this year? Will he play significant time?
He will not play significant time. He will play because he's got to get used to all new teammates, and I think that's a factor. You can do everything you want in training camp, but it's nice to go up against somebody in a different uniform. But having said that, Lee, Buck fans should not blink in the game at Pittsburgh or they're going to miss Brady. I mean, you know, let's be realistic here. The guy's turning 43 in August, and you're not going to expose him to a darn good Pittsburgh defense, which wouldn't mind taking a little pot shot at him. And you know how physical the Steelers are. That's their reputation. So he'll play one series, maybe two. And I think the Belichick days are over for Brady. And I think Brady's going to be happy about it because he can't wait to get out there, Lee. He probably wants to play a half against Pittsburgh. Not going to happen.
Yeah, I saw a video the other day. I didn't see the video. I saw it live. It was Mike Silver and Steve Weiss on NFL Network. And they were both talking about Brady's going to be going nuts these days because he's the kind of guy, I know people will have a heart attack when I say this, but he was driven like Jameis in the sense that he's a workaholic. You know, you can't do anything now. It's all virtual OTAs. And they both said, you know, I guess they know Brady somewhat. And he said that he's just got to be going bananas, that he wants to get out there and work with his teammates, and he can't do it. And I'm wondering, like, well, couldn't he fly to Montana with a couple of receivers? I don't know if there's any law against that. So who knows? Brady, you know, I'm, you know, this is just new territory here. A star on the Bucks, a real honest to goodness Q rating star.
Well, with that preseason opener, Ira, now we don't have dates and times yet for the preseason opener or for our schedule at Big Storm Beer, where we'll be watching road games with fans because they have two locations and we haven't nailed down which locations will be what on which days yet. But the action will start for that preseason opener. Always draws a big crowd. It's the first taste of football for fans. It's going to be somewhere between August 13th and 17th. The NFL will pick a date.
Count me in. Count me in, Isbeth.
And the Sage will be there. Yeah. This year we're coming to Big Storm Beer. It's going to be bigger and better. And at the tap room is going to be so much fun. All right, Ira, got to run this by you because this has been a topic and a fun topic in a lot of ways. Bruce Arians was on radio today with the Pat McAfee Show, which is on radio, YouTube, online, whatever.
Stop right there, Isbeth. Stop right there. Memo to Bruce Arians. You're allowed to turn down an interview request. You're allowed. what is going on over there, Stephen? The man is everywhere.
Here's the thing. He's close buddies, Ira, with Pat McAfee for a couple of reasons. He was his coach with the Colts. McAfee was their Pro Bowl punter, and he's actually been on with McAfee for a couple of years now on his shows. But the interesting thing about McAfee is that he was the emergency quarterback for the Colts. So he sat in all those meetings with Arians and Peyton Manning and understands offense. He's not just a regular punter. So, right. They're tight.
What came out of the interview, Stephen?
Well, there were two gems. Actually, there are about four gems, but I'll throw this one at you guys. McAfee really grilled him and said, look, before Tom Brady came, there was the report that he wanted roster control and that he, was looking to call the shots. And McAfee asked him, was that just like Tom Brady being able to say, hey, I want this guy on my team? Or was that ever a conversation about him having some control between you, Jason Light, and Brady? And Arians answered, he laughed, and he said it was never a conversation that Brady was going to be the GM. But he did say, quote, it was a matter of, hey, you're going to tell me which receivers you like. We've got like 10 of them. I know the top two you're going to like, numbers 3, 4, and 5. If you want to pick one, have them. I'm not throwing the ball.
That is classic Arians, gentlemen. I mean, that's a classic. You know what, Lee? I'm not sure I have a problem with Brady picking between the bottoms of the wide receiver depth chart. I'm not sure I have a problem with that. After 20 years, Lee, I think I might trust him more than I do the Buck coaching staff in figuring out who the heck's going to give me the most production at the number 4 and 5 spots. I'll tell you one guy that's going to get a long look is Tyler Johnson. Lee, the more I think about it, I think he's the guy to beat for that number 3 spot. I'd be surprised if he doesn't win it from what I can determine about this guy. But, Lee, as far as picking between Scotty Miller and a couple other guys, I trust Tom Brady, and I don't think that is, front page material. And whoever thinks Brady's not going to have a lot of input in this offense is just kidding themselves, Lee.
What was interesting about the interview, and Steve, I have to give McAfee credit. He asked Arians, but it was not a puff interview. I mean, he pinned him down on a couple things. I always thought McAfee was some bozo, and I have an inclination to be prejudiced against punters. I think punters are their walking failure signs. I don't like punters. Steve was always trying to tell me, hey, McAfee's pretty good. He's a punter. I don't want to hear football from a punter. Punters should be seen, not heard. And preferably, they should not be heard or seen. And I've watched this interview only because Arians was on there. I was like, damn, this guy can interview pretty well. It's not a typical, jocracy?
This was not a WDAE interview over here, DeKemper. You got to listen to some of these interviews. This ain't no puff piece interview over there.
So I got to give McAfee credit. He pinned him down. But one of the things Arians said on there was, McAfee asked him, like, is Brady going to have to learn your offense? Or are you going to have to learn Brady's offense? Or are you going to have to switch things up to be like the Patriots? And Arians said, it's easier for a smart quarterback to learn a new offense than to get the entire offense to learn a new offense that fits the quarterback. I thought that was very interesting. And it makes sense if you think about it.
But having said that, I think it's common sense tells you that Brady's skills and Jameis Winston's skills are not common. They're disparate, I think, quite a bit in terms of arm strength and in terms of buying time in the pocket, how long you hold on to the ball. So you can say all you want about Tom Brady having to adapt to Arians / Leftwich, but I think in practical terms, they are going to change this offense quite a bit to customize it Tom Brady.
In that interview, Arians said that Rob Gronkowski is participating in the voluntary virtual program with the strength coaches. And, quote, Arians was quoted saying, "Whoa, slow down, dude." He said that Gronkowski is going crazy. He said that he'll be in football shape in 5 weeks and that he's just, 100% and revitalized and they're blown away by his conditioning.
I think that's absolute music to Buck fans' ears. Lee, the thought of a motivated Gronkowski, a healthy Gronkowski, at least when the season starts, that is a tremendous plus in Tampa Bay's favor. These teams in the NFC South, they haven't dealt with anybody like Rob Gronkowski on a regular basis. The guy's a Hall of Famer, probably a first ballot Hall of Famer. Lee, he's a touchdown machine. He's a red zone terror. And if he's motivated and wants to get back into the physical shape, when he was 27, boy, Buck fans can't ask for any more than that, Lee.
It's all falling into place. Let's hope last time the Bucs fans got this excited was 2017. That didn't go so well.
You know, Lee, I think you're making some great points today, DeKemper.
Poor change, huh?
You know, Steve, and I know some of the people that are listening to this are not going to want to hear it, Steve. You know, why be a Debbie Downer in May? And it's not being a Debbie Downer, but Steve, you got to deal with the hype factor. You got to deal with it. And while it gets the fans, excited and boosts ticket sales, you're also a target now. Nobody took the Bucs seriously on their schedule. Nobody. Why should they over the last 12 years? They hadn't done anything. And, Steve, there's a flip side. There's a flip side to the hype. And I'll give you an example. Steve, when the schedule came out at about 7:30, on Thursday night, I think I went to CBS Sportsline site and they had some video going. It was live. And the schedule had just come out. And it was the first item that they were going over with the schedule. And they were looking at the Bucs schedule. That was the first thing. They weren't looking at the Chiefs schedule. And, Steve, you know that that's fairly typical of what's been going on. You know, since Brady came to town, it's not going to stop. Steve, unless the Bucs get off to a bad start and then everybody will say the grand experiment is a failure, you got to hope that these guys are going to keep their eye on the ball and keep their focus.
Well, absolutely, Ira, and it all starts week one. It's going to be a total buzzsaw in the Superdome, total clash game of the week with your friends. You called it a long time ago. You're going to have Buck and Aikman calling Brady and Breeze. It's just going to be wild right now already. Our friend Todd Wright of the Todd Wright Toddcast relayed odds from fresh from Jay Cornegay at the Westgate Sportsbook.
Hold on. Let me guess. This is Bucs at Saints, week one, Steven?
Week one, opening
Bucs
odds.
At Saints. I'm going to say Saints by 4.
Saints by 4.5. And week two, the Bucs are an 8.5-point favorite already against Carolina.
Wow.
And,
wow.
So the hype is on. And last thing on the Bruce Arians, McAfee pressed him and said, look, Jameis has your playbook week one. What do you think of that? And how's that going to be a factor? And Arians said, oh, crap. I don't care who has the playbook. They don't know what's being called. I don't care. And
hey, by the way, hey, Lee, I'll reiterate. It ain't going to be the same playbook. It ain't going to be the same. I can tell you that.
It'll be interesting.
It shouldn't be.
No, it'll be wild there, Sage. With Jameis going to be going wild, even if he's not going to play. I thought it was interesting. Also in that interview, just a funny little nugget, Lee. I don't know if you caught it. Arians is neighbors with Ben Roethlisberger at his Georgia lake home.
I knew he lived in the same neck of the woods, but I didn't know they were neighbors.
Yeah, okay. He said he asked him about Roethlisberger and. I guess McAfee had heard that they were neighbors living on the same lake, and Arians verified it. He said, "Oh yeah." He was talking about his beard and what kind of shape.
So they're probably
he's in.
Playing golf together, Steve. Probably
seems like it.
You would think.
Seems like it. So that's kind
of. Hey, by the way, Lee, one more point about the Saints, and I don't really know why this is, but it's a fact. They're off to some slow starts, Lee, recent years. as in losing that, 48-40 crazy game to the Bucs a couple of years ago with Fitzpatrick. And there's been some other years when the Saints are at home, Steve, early in September. They don't play particularly well. I don't know why.
The reason why I'm asking this, I'm getting to a point, but was it Avila where Dungy and Vince DiMoli and Mike Williams lived?
Yeah, Avila.
Avila,
yeah.
Okay. Where Roethlisberger and Arians live, there's it's sort of like the Villages in the sense that it's like a community that was started right smack in the middle of Georgia, maybe 2 hours out of Atlanta or 2 hours out of Athens, just for high-end clients. Like the Roethlisberger, people that can afford seven-figure houses. It's like a community, and that's who they market towards. It's like a golf club community, sort of like the Villages. And I had read that Roethlisberger and Arians lived in the same, that little community, but I didn't know they were neighbors.
Lee, can't you see Isbitz after this podcast looking up that community and seeing if there might be a mansion for sale that he can get on the cheap?
Well, when Roethlisberger got in trouble at the bars, when he had his issues with women a few years ago, he went to one of the nearby towns, and one of those nearby towns, some little bitty college town, and that's where he got in trouble. It was one of the nearest towns to this community, and that's where he went partying at. And,
okay.
So I don't remember the name of the community, but it was crafted specifically for high-end clients like Roethlisberger, Arians, and Isbitz.
What is going on with this?
Defend yourself, Steven. Defend yourself.
I'm sitting here celebrating that I'm saving $40 a month on my car insurance, and you guys are got me buying a mansion. All right. Well, the podcast is available at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Play, Stitcher, at Joe Bucks Fan, other platforms. You can subscribe. You get a free alert. Apple Podcasts has been behind a little bit on their free alerts. It's been a glitch in their system for everybody, so I'm told. So they're running about 8 hours behind. So just a heads up for those Apple listeners who are wondering what the hell's been going on. But you can always listen right at joebucksfan.com. And we thank Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. Our good friend Sean Sullivan is there, and he's got even more Bucks to talk to you about now with this schedule. If you head on down there to purchase a F-150 or any of their amazing vehicles at Bill Curry Ford, 0% financing. Sean's a good friend, and he'll take care of you by phone or text or email. You can reach out. He'll help you directly. And, of course, drink Big Storm beer responsibly, bigstormbrewery.com. Listen for the announcements coming probably in 2-3 weeks on the different dates and games where you can hang out with Ira and just anytime hang out at Big Storm and watch the full slate of NFL games. Ira, we'll close with this. And, Lee, I want to hear what you think about this, because this was sort of telling in a historic and unique kind of way, and it fits into the schedule talk. Donovan Smith, Ira, was on a conference call with me and Lee and the other local scribes this week, and he was asked about the schedule, and this is what he said. Part of his quote is, "It's not going to be the same, you feel me? I feel like we're going to pack out the stadium, and it's not going to be an away game for us at home."
That's called lowering the curtain, Lee, and saying what players actually talk about behind closed doors. You know what it is, Lee? It's supporting your den of depression. That's what it's doing. So don't take any more guff, Mr. DeKemper, from Buck fans who don't like you using that phrase. Now, that might change in 2020.
Especially, I hope so.
Yeah, you hope so. Lee, that is absolutely backing you up. And this is coming from a veteran player, a five-year pro, who shows up at Raymond James for the last 5 years and feels like he's at a road game. Boy, that kind of says it all, doesn't it, Lee?
It really does. And I'm curious to what type of armistice or treaty that Donovan Smith came up with his neighbors. It was about 2 weeks ago. He, out of frustration, he just bought a new house. And I'm assuming he bought a new house in an upscale neighborhood. That's my guess. He's got money. And he, out of frustration, one night, like 10 o'clock at night, he put on Twitter, already the neighbors were yelling at him about his music. And he was, during his
How come we're not shocked? How come the three of us are not shocked at that?
Yeah, we know what the deal is with the locker room, yeah. Now, Steve heard it. I didn't hear it, but apparently Kevin O'Donnell as part of his question. It was like, it was, he asked him about the music, and it sounded like, from what Steve was telling me, that they have a truce, Donovan and his neighbors, about the music. And I'm just curious if he had to change his music or just shut it down. I don't know.
Well, Steve, you'll back me up on this. You've been in the locker room many, many times in that Buck locker room, and he doesn't mind piping up his music, Steve. Sometimes it interferes if I'm trying to talk to, you know, our guys, Marpet or Dotson or Jensen. It can be a problem. He can be a little bit of an intimidating figure, Smith. You know, we probably don't have the right to ask him to pipe it down, whereas opposed to a Buck employee could do it, but it doesn't shock me. Steve, we all know people that in their cars, you know, got the, you know, it goes up to 1 to 90. They got the volume at 97, and the car's shaking, and they could be they can be 100 feet behind you, but you hear them as they're coming up. They don't mind imposing their will a little bit on people around them, and I'm not shocked that Smith's neighbors are forming a little posse. And might put out a little petition in the neighborhood. Well, Look out, Donovan.
Sometimes you get a little extra bold when you're 6'6", 330. It's just, you know, sometimes it comes with the territory. I thought it was interesting, Ira, the Buccaneers offensive linemen, actually just the returning four starters, they got together on a little conference call, you know, just a fun thing with Buccaneers.com, and they all agreed. Nobody even argued. And usually these guys will give each other some crap or disagree. They all very quickly agreed that Smith is significantly stronger than any of them, including Jensen. So I thought that was kind of neat.
And Steve, one other thing that they must have said when they got on this little Zoom thing together, the four returning starters, is they all looked at each other on Zoom, four of those little quadrants, and they looked around at each other and they said, "Gentlemen, we are now protecting Tom Brady. The stakes have gone up for all of us, especially Lee Donovan Smith, especially."
You brought up something interesting I'd forgotten about. Will Golston did a Michigan State football podcast. What it is, one of the football staffers at Michigan State interviews past Michigan State football players. They were interviewing Golston. Golston was asked, "What about Brady? What do you know about Brady? Have you talked to Brady?" And he's, "No, he hasn't talked to Brady." But I think this is why everybody is so geeked up about Brady coming to the Bucks. How there's a new sheriff in town. Golston said when he was a rookie, and guys, we remember this quite well. When he was a rookie, the Bucks had joint practices with the Patriots. And I believe when he was a rookie, they went up to New England. The year before, they came to Tampa. The Patriots came to Tampa. Shannon was coaching them. Anyway, Golston was a rookie, and you know they'll run on certain drills, and then they'll change the drills after X amount of plays. Coaches will change the drills. So Golston said he's out there on the field, on the practice field. The Patriots' number one offense is out there. It's like the Bucks' number two defense. And they were going to change drills. And as the players started walking off, you know, like for the second string offense of the Patriots come on there, Brady's like, "No, we're not doing this right. We're staying out here." And Golston thought it was the coaches that were telling Brady to say that. He found out later that was all Brady. It wasn't the coaches. It was Brady basically said, "We're not doing this right, and we're not leaving the field until we do this right, and then the second team come over." And Golston said he always remembered that, wow, this guy, this is what you call a leader. This is what you call a guy with high standards.
And the Bucks, Steve, are counting on that to ripple through the whole locker room.
And 4 years later at training camp, Swaggy Baker said, "I'm not tying my damn shoes. I'm out this series."
All right. And I hope you missed that field goal. Keep going.
All right, Sage, we are out of here. While you guys were talking there, I made a large wager on the Bucks winning their home opener, because if they don't win the home opener against Carolina, I probably won't be alive anymore. So I figure I might as well just throw it all in there. So just for the record,
I thought you were going to say you laid down a large deposit of the Arians' next neighbor.
Now, guys, part of running a business, now, far from me to tell you boys, you've been very successful, but part of it is a little self-promotion goes a long way. So, Steve, I'm going to ask you right here on this podcast, how are we doing? How's our numbers? How's the numbers on the podcast? How's the numbers on Joe Bucks Fan?
Ira, look, we're always dominating. We don't even put the numbers on the website anymore because we're just always kicking butt. People can always take a look if they want to use the SimilarWeb.com tool. Brady Mania is alive and well on the website. We're probably up a consistent 15% from last year. since he signed, and it's always busy. So, you know, we're very grateful. We're very pleased, and the beat rolls on 24/7. Ira, send us out of here with your greatest wisdom about this schedule and the state of Bucks fandom as we sit literally less than 100 days from the preseason opener.
My crystal ball, gentlemen, which was shattered when I thought the 2017 Bucks were going to win 10 games. But I've put the pieces together, the Kemper. I've glued them together from the crystal ball, and they're back intact. And now my 2020 crystal ball, Lee, says that the 7-5 Buccaneers will go into the bye week in good shape, especially with an extra playoff berth in each conference. And they will go 3-1 down the stretch. They will win 10 games, which goes above the Vegas 9.5 line. They will make the playoffs. They might win the NFC South. But, Lee, just the fact that you're in the postseason with Tom Brady under center gives you one hell of a chance to make a deep playoff run, and that's what this schedule tells me.